This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch Hama and welcome everyone. We continue in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Maseches Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Basically, we're left with the following stira. Namely, we said the Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. Why do we have to say the Mishnah is Rebbe Meir? Because the Mishnah said that if a woman goes with her husband and a tzara, l'medinas hayam, and then they came back and they said to her, if a woman's husband and tzara went l'medinas hayam, and they said to her, you know, your husband died, so we tell her that, okay, she can't do yibum, that we understand, because it's very likely that the husband's wife had a child. But we tell her she can't get married either. Why can't she get married? Because Roiv says that, the reason she can't get married is because there's a miut, a miut of women who don't become pregnant. The Gemara said it's Rav Meir who's choshish for the miut, and that's why she can't get married, because maybe she's zakuk for yibam. But then the Gemara asks, well, if it's Rav Meir, then what about in the Seifa, where we say that if she has a mother-in-law, we're not concerned? Says the Gemara, why are we not concerned? Why don't we say most women will become pregnant and give birth, and even though there's a possibility that she may miscarry and a possibility that she may have an akeva, but it's definitely a miut that she had a male, and therefore we should be choshed for the miut. And therefore, the Gemara is left with the question, why in the Reisha are we choshish for the miut, that maybe the woman did not become pregnant? And in the Seifa, we are not choshish for the miut, maybe this woman has a brother-in-law that she is zakuk to. So says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rava. Rava said, Reisha chazaka liibam. The reason why she can't get married is because the woman left becheskas being zakuk liibam, because the husband did not have a child. So we have a chazaka that she's zakuk for yibam. Viruba lishuk, but Roiv says she could get married. Vechazaka loy adiv kiruba. Now chazaka is not as strong as a Roiv, so Roiv should say that she's allowed to marry lishuk. So basically we have Roiv that she could get married, chazaka that she's zakuk liyubam. So v'aisi miyuta demapilos. Let's let the miyut that she miscarried come. Samach lechazaka, and support the chazaka. V'havale palga upalga, and it will be half and half. Meaning, in the Reisha, we have a chazaka that she should, that she is zakuk liyibam. We have a roiv that she's mutter l'shuk. A chazaka is not like a roiv, but the miut that maybe she miscarried and therefore she cannot go l'shuk should support the chazaka that she's zakuk for yibam. So it's like 50-50. So therefore we say loy tina save loy tesyabim. Because there's a valid concern that maybe she is zakuk liibam. What is that valid concern? There's a miut that maybe the woman miscarried, and even if, and that could support the chazaka. Seifa, but in the seifa, the chazaka is that she's mutaris l'shuk, because the mother-in-law doesn't have a son. Seifa chazaka l'shuk. Chazaka is she is mutar l'shuk. And because her presumptive status is that she's not zakuk for yibam. Roiv says there's a kid and she's not zakuk for yibam. Veruba l'shuk. So you have a chazaka, you have a roiv. V'havalei zechorim miyuta de miyuta. The possibility that the mother-in-law had a baby boy is going against the roiv and is going against the chazaka. U'miyuta de miyuta loy chayesh rameir. A miyot to miyot, Rav Meir is not choshesh for. Rav Meir is not choshesh for the miyot to miyot. Umiyuta demiyuta lechayish Rameir. Rameir is not choshesh for a miyut demiyut. Rameir is choshesh for a miyut. He's not choshesh for a miyut demiyut. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said, loy tinase. She can't get married. She can't get married because maybe she's in a presumptive status that the Yavam has no children. She's in the presumptive status of Zakuk for Yibam, but she can't do Yibam because Rav says there's a kid. So Gemara says, Ula Ailam? She can never ever get married? That's ridiculous. Why could she never get married? What's the problem? Why do we say she can't get married? Well, maybe because the Yavam doesn't have a kid. So I have a great idea. Right? Maybe because her husband didn't have a kid and she's zakuk for Yibam. So I have a really great idea. Let the Yavam do Chalitza. Like we asked yesterday. Let the Yavam do Chalitza. And this way it will free her. If her husband had a kid, she's mutaris to the shuk. If the husband didn't have a kid, the Yavam will do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Amar Ze'iri, La'atzma Shlesha Chadashim. On her own account, she can't get married for 3 months. Because we know when a woman's husband dies, she has to wait 3 months until she gets married. Stam for Havchana. So on her account, she can't get married for 3 months. Lechaverta, on her friend's account, Tisha. On her friend's account, 9 months. What does that mean? On her friend's account, because of the tsara, who might be pregnant, she has to wait 9 months. Why? So you say, why do you have to wait 5 months? 9 months. Let her do chalitza and get married. No, because even if you do chalitza, you can't get married within 9 months, because maybe her co-wife is pregnant. And the Vlad will be, so you say, well, if the co-wife is pregnant, then she could get married. No, if the Vlad is viable, the Chalitza won't do anything. The Chalitza is not going to be effective as a viable kid. Only the kid will pater. And the kid doesn't pater until the kid is born. So, outs the co-wife, it's not going to help to do Chalitza and then get married. Because for that, you would have to wait 9 months. Let her do chalitza after 9 months. If the tsara gave birth, so she's pater with a vlad. And otherwise, the chalitza will pater her. So in other words, to let her do chalitza after 9 months. Says Gemara, no. Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Amri Tarvayu. Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, they both say they can't do that. Why? Gezeira Shema Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. You know why you can't do that? Because we're afraid maybe if you do chalitza after 9 months, so the miman of shach, if there's no kid, the chalitza paters. If there is a kid, the chalitza is not necessary. So the Gemara says, Gezer Shemi Hei Vlad Ben Kayama. Maybe there will be a surviving kid. And then, so you say, so what? Benimsa atamatzvicha churuz l'kuhuna. Now you're going to have to announce that the woman's chalitza was not needed and she's muteres l'koyen. Says Gemara, v'litzricha. So make an announcement that the chalitza was not needed and it was ineffective, and everything will be hunky dory. So make an announcement that the woman is kasher l'kahuna. Says the Gemara, Gezeira, it's a decree, Shema Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. Maybe the Vlad will be viable. V'nimtza ata matzricha kruz. L'kahuna, I'm sorry, V'litzucha, why don't we require an announcement? The answer is, Duma Ika, Dehavi B'chalitza. There might be someone who's by the Chalitza. v'lohava b'hachraza, and it won't be by the hachraza, the chalitza was ineffective. And they're going to see you allowing a chalitza to a kayin, and they're going to say, v'amri kashore chalitza l'kayin. They're going to say, oh, they're allowing a chalitza to marry a kayin. So therefore, we have to aser this woman forever. A woman whose husband goes overseas with a tzara, because of the possibility that the tzara is pregnant, the woman can never, ever get married. Why?
They could have just ushered her to the kohen.
I mean, just say a woman whose husband goes overseas, and then we have information that he died, is ushered to a kohen?
Correct.
Just ushered her to a kohen.
It seems pretty harsh for the woman to be essentially naguna.
So again, if we're going to... The question is like this. Why are we asking her to a kayin? Because people are going to say... people are going to see... So people are going to be present at the chalitza, and they're not going to be present when they say the chalitza is no good. So therefore, we have to aser her to a kohen. So say that after 9 months, she could do chalitza, and she's aser to a kohen. Good question. Why don't we just aser her to a kohen? Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Good question. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Nitein li ben b'medina sayam. The earlier Mishnah said, let's say a woman was b'cheskas yibam, and she went with her husband l'medina sayam. The husband did not come back. And he said, by the way, I had a kid l'medina sayam. But va'amra meis b'ni v'acha meis bali, my kid died. And then my husband died. Namena, she's believed to say that she's zakuk liyibam because hapesha aser hapesha hitter. She left b'cheskas yibam, so she's believed to maintain that status. But if she says meis bali v'achakach meis bini, she had a status of being zakuk liyibam, and she said my husband died, then my kid ain't an amenas. She's not believed to say to marry l'shuk. She's not believed to marry Lashuk and to be exempt from the Yavam. We have to be concerned that Taka, she's not Zakuk for Yibam. And she can't marry Lashuk. But we don't allow her to do Yibam because maybe Taka meis bala, v'achakach meis bini. So we say, do Chalitza na Yibam. So says the Gemara, how can we just say, do chalitza na'ibam, but if we're going to have her do chalitza, what if Edim come and say, taka, you know what, meis bala, and achar kach bina, and she was not zakuk li'ibam, and v'leichosh dilma asu Edim, v'amri kideka amra, then you're going to have to announce that her chalitza was no good. Meaning, why aren't we worried that she says that she's not zakuk liyibam? So we don't believe her. So we make her give chalitza. Since she was b'cheska zakuk liyibam, we make her do chalitza. But what if, why aren't we worried? Edim are going to come and they're going to say, you know what? She's not zakuk liyibam. And the husband died and then the kid died. Now you have to announce that she is mutar sakayin. So we see that we're not worried about that. So we'll announce it, and then she'll become Mutar L'Kayin, and nobody's going to say anything. So the Gemara says, you know what? Actually, normally we cannot have her do Chalitza. But you know what? You know why here we could have her do Chalitza? Because we're talking about a grusha who anyway is usher to a kayin. So since anyway she's usher to a kayin, it will not be a problem if we're matzricha kruz l'kahuna. Because, in other words, if we make her do chalitza, we don't have to be worried that Edom are going to come and say, it turns out that the chalitza was no good, because we don't have to say that, because anyway she's usher to a kayin.
Same problem as before, because if people don't know she wants a divorcee,
it
might assume that everybody's permitted.
So we had an idea earlier in the Masechta that a grusha has a koil, that everybody knows a woman is a grusha. The fact that a woman is a grusha is sort of
more publicly known.
Yeah, it's a public procedure. It has a koil. People know about that. Yeah. Rav Chia Berei de Rav Huna Amar Ba'amra Ani V'hu Nach Be'enu B'ma'ara. The case is where the person says, I, my son, my husband, we're hiding in a cave. Nobody was with us. And we're not worried. Oh, well, Edom are going to come and say, Taka, her husband died, and then her son. I mean, the whole chash is, well, maybe Edom will come and say, she didn't need to do chalitza. There were no Edom. This is talking about a woman who's testifying about what happened in a private cave. And no evidence will ever come up to say what happened in terms of who died when. Okay, now we start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about Shtei Yevamais. Two wives of brothers. Okay, so you have Reuven and Shimon married to Rachel and Leah. So you have two brothers married to two women, and Zuai Meres Meis Bali. Each one, Rachel says, my husband died. The Zuai Meres Meis Bali. The other wife said, my husband died. Now, when a woman says her husband died, she's believed regarding herself, but she's not believed regarding her. When a woman says her husband died, she's believed to allow her to remarry, but she is not believed regarding allowing a Yevama to marry her husband. In other words, if she said her husband died, it's not going to release someone who's potentially zakuk to her husband, because she's not believed regarding a potential co-wife. So two yevamas, they each say, my husband died. Each one is prohibited because of the husband of the other one. Because we're afraid that maybe really he's alive and she's zakuk to him. Even though his wife says he died, she's not believed regarding the yevama, that she should be able to marry Lashuk based on her, because one Yevama cannot test on the other, because this is one of the five women that are not Neman to be Mayat. So they're believed regarding themselves, but the other woman is not believed vis-a-vis the Yevama. So neither of them can marry Lashuk. In other words, they're believed regarding themselves that their husband died, but they're not believed regarding the other one to allow the other woman to marry Lashuk. Lezu edim, lezu ein edim. If one woman has edim that her husband died, and one woman does not have edim. So the woman that has edim, regarding herself, she doesn't need edim, because she could rely on her own testimony. But she still can't marry Lashuk, because she has no credible testimony that her yavam is dead. But the one that doesn't have edim, so as sheyesh la, the one that has edim asura is asur on account of the other man who she might be zakuk to, and there's no credible testimony that he's dead. Veshein la edim, the one that doesn't have edim, she says her husband died, and we have edim that her yavam died. Mutaras. Or lezu banim v'lezu ein banim. One woman has children, one woman doesn't. And sheyesh la banim, the one that has children is mutar l'shuk. Why? she is believed to say her husband died. And regarding the Yavam, it's irrelevant whether he died or not because she has children. But the one that doesn't have children, she says her husband died. The only problem is we don't have credible testimony that the Yavam is dead, Asura. Now we have a very interesting case. Back to the first case, two Yavamais. Each one said, my husband died. And this one says, my husband died. So neither of them can marry Lashuk, because we have to suspect there's a Yavam that's alive. So it's Reuven and Shimon married to Rachel and Leah. The thing is, even if Reuven and Shimon, whether they died or they didn't die, each one is believed to say that their husband died. But they're not Mutter Lashuk because there's a possibility of a Yavam that we don't have credible testimony about. If let's say there are another two brothers, Levi and Yehuda. Levi and Yehuda could do Yibum to these women. Each woman says their husband died. And whether the other wife's husband is alive or not, they have other Yivamin who they could do Yibum to. Nisyabmu, let's say they did Yibum. Umesu ha-Yivamin. And the Yivamin died. Asurais linase. Now they can't get married because regarding each woman, the Reuven and Shimon are still possibly alive. They each said their husband died. Regarding the other husband, we don't have credible testimony that he died. So they first did Yibum. And since they first did Yibum, so that sort of put the matter to rest for a while. But now their Yavam died. They can't marry Lashuk because there might be another Yavam still here that we don't have credible testimony about. But Rabbi Lezer says something very unusual that we're going to have to get into more next time. Once they became mutter to the brother and they married the brother, now when the brother dies, they become mutter to everyone. Even though there's potentially a Yavam looming for each one of them. Okay. The Mishnah said, Tana, Lazu Edim Ubanim, if this one has Edim that her husband died and children. So she's not Zakuk to the other one because she has children. Velazu Loy Edim, this one doesn't have Edim. Veloy Banim, but doesn't have children. She's also Mutter because we have Edim that the other guy died, Shteyam Mutarais. But the Mishnah said, Nesiabmu Umesuf, they did even the died, Hayivamin Asurun Linase, Rilazar Mahova, Huchul, Yivamin Huchul Chaladim. So Rava wants to know, and we're going to get into Rava Svara exactly next time. But Rava wants to know, Boy Rava, my time is Rebbe Lazar. What would the reason be of Rebbe Lazar? After all, we know why they could do Yibam. So again, you have Reuven and Shimon married to two women. Each woman says, my husband died. And at this point, neither one could go Lashuk because we have to suspect the other brother is still around because while you're believed regarding your husband, you're not believed to say your husband died for the potential Yavama because you hate her, so you don't have any nemanus vis-a-vis her. In the meantime, there are two other brothers, so the two women do even to the other brothers. Now these two brothers die, so potentially they're stuck to another two Yavamin that we never had credible testimony about for them. So the question is, what's the reasoning of Rava? My boy Rava, my time in the Rebbe Lazar, what's the reason of Rebbe Lazar? Is it because Mishum de Kosavar at Sara Mi'ida L'Chaverta? Is it because Rebbe Lazar holds Taka that one potential co-wife could testify for the other? Now that's very difficult, because then as Tosfos asks, then why didn't Rebbe Lezer argue earlier by the five women who are not believed? Rebbe Lezer said, actually, I hold that you could testify for Atzara. So Tosfos says, well, of course, if you're only testifying about the tzara, you probably hate her. But here where you're primarily testifying about yourself, then maybe Rebbe Lezer holds that you're doing it for yourself. It happens to have an effect on the tzara, maybe then you are believed. But I would say, I would ask, why wouldn't Rebbe Lezer argue in the first case? Two yivamais, zuay meres meis bali, zuay meres meis bali. They should go free. Oy dilma, or maybe mishum dehiloy makalkala nafsha. Maybe there's a different svara. Maybe she wouldn't want to mess herself up. That since she's testifying that her husband died, to be able to do yibum and to marry someone else, so she doesn't want to mess herself up, so she's believed for you. We'll get into exactly what the svara is. The Gemara is going to ask what the nafkamina is. But the Gemara right now wants to know, what would Rebbe Lezer's svara be? The Gemara seems to be saying two very similar types of ideas, to which the Gemara is going to ask, lamai nafkamina? Is it because he holds that, in fact, you could testify about a tzara? Or maybe it's because she won't want to mess herself up.
Didn't we have a rule of the Tumas Nafsha in
Plishtim? Yeah. But here, Rebbe Lezer is not subscribing to that for some reason, right? Rebbe Lezer is saying she potentially would be believed. But it seems like she would only be believed. The Gemara is going to say, Michael, your svara, that the Rabbanon may hold Tumas Nafsha in Plishtim, Rebbe Lezer may not hold of that svara.
Oh, okay.
But again, why, if Rebbe Lezer holds that they're believed, then why are they only believed after they did Yibam the first time? Why aren't they believed right away? Okay, Rabbi Isai, so we'll get into this more, Bez Hashem, next week. And wishing you all a wonderful evening. Bracha v'atzlacha. Kol tov.
Thank you, have a good night.
Okay, good night, kol tov. Can I Reb Lewis, kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.